At this time, I'd invite you guys to pull out your outlines that are in your bulletins. We're going to look at that reading that we had. You can see up on the screen, we're talking about words. Words have power. Words have amazing power. Do you remember that saying? I don't know if you heard it when you were a kid. I can remember it. It goes, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." Remember that? When I was thinking about it, I have these memories of things, and I just remember kind of going, "Nyeh, nyeh, nyeh," sticks and stones. It doesn't take us long to get to understand that that is totally untrue. Totally, absolutely, that is the biggest lie, because they do hurt. Words actually have power. They have incredible power. They change everything. Words that we speak, they change not only what we know, they change how we interact with people, the decisions that we make, that we ultimately make. Words, they influence us, they inspire us, they can fill us with joy and bring us to tears. They change our world. They change our demeanor. They even change our entire belief system. They speak power. You think about words in your life. I love you. I hate you. What words have touched you? Some of you have heard the words, "Marry me." That's a powerful word. That really is. And you think about that. There's words that just stop us absolutely dead in our tracks, just short, we can't even breathe. You hear the words, "You have cancer." These are powerful things. We lost him. We won. Any Cubs fans out there? Still got your, you got your flags? There were people at the first service, had their flags. So it may not seem intentional, but the words are powerful. They speak life. They really do. And the people in our reading from Acts, there's like 3,000 of them that saw these words with an extra power to them. Why? Because I wonder, is there a difference between the words that human beings speak and the words that God speaks? Is there a difference? It's interesting that psychologists would tell us that you cannot restore a relationship of love by using harsh words. Now, Peter's words, when you read them in context, they were scathing, man. They were harsh. He told them exactly how it was. Why did that work? The reason why it worked was because the Holy Spirit was active and living. See, all words have purpose, and God has purpose when he speaks through an individual, and he's speaking through Peter. Is that these words had a purpose, and God's purpose is to build their love relationship back with him. And he's able to take these people that heard him speaking and restore a relationship that was broken by the words of Peter. To me, it's absolutely a most fascinating thing in the world. Look at the context. The context, if you back up to the beginning of chapter 2, where this reading came from in Acts, it is Pentecost. They're gathered, all the disciples, and not just the apostles, the disciples, all of them. Maybe a couple hundred people, they're gathered into this room, and as they're gathered in this room, they're scared, they're frightened. This wind comes in, a violent wind, the text says, and it comes from heaven, they said, and it filled the room, and then it filled them, and there were these things like tongues that came down, and the tongues of fire split and separated and went over each person, and then they started speaking. It's Pentecost. That's what you're seeing here. It's this powerful word that spoke. And so when Peter was speaking, it was not just Peter speaking. It was actually the Holy Spirit chose to move through his words and actually create faith in the hearts of these people, and it's what they needed to hear. They cry out. They hear that word, and they're like, "What shall we do?" And the Bible says, this powerful word of God, it's amazing, how God can just bless people with it. It says the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Hebrews 4:12 goes on to say, discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. God does that because He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to draw us closer to Him. And Peter's actually, when you look at the whole message that he shared, Peter's quoting Joel chapter 2. He's quoting Psalm 16. He's quoting Psalm 110. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And it just, boom, it just connected with the people. The Holy Spirit worked in their hearts and minds. Now, it's a wonderful thing. You stop and think about that. Stop and think about just, you know, here, this, the people of Israel has spent hundreds of years running from God. They spent hundreds of years running from God, denying Him, you know, in rebellion. And yet they're restored. Yet, you know, a person can no longer resist the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They simply say, "What must I do?" That's powerful stuff. Think about it in your life. Think about the power of that in your life or the people that you're praying for. I'm sure many of you are praying for people. You're praying for relatives. You're praying for your family. Think about that. The Spirit of God and the Word of God can work. And we can have that expectation. It is amazing. We should not sell God short. And you see like 3,000 people crying out to God. They had just crucified the Son of God. That's amazing grace. Amazing grace. What happened when they said, "What shall we do?" What that really means is they sensed that they had two needs. They had some needs. They sensed that there was something lacking in their life, and the Word of God and the Spirit of God had communicated that to them. If you look at Peter's response to them, Peter addresses those needs. And there's two that I just want to focus on because it's important for us to see how God ministers to us and how He wants to speak to people. Because Peter's response to them was regarding forgiveness of sins. You need to know that you're forgiven. We need to know that things are right with God and us. That's hugely important. And then we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot do things on our own. We need God's Holy Spirit working inside us. And first He speaks to them about the forgiveness of sins. And that is such an amazingly powerful, powerful thing. And you know, if you read in our reading from Peter, you know, Peter was talking about how God has redeemed us from the futile ways that we've inherited from our forefathers. Now, you know, if you think about it in the world that we live in, there's a lot of thinking and a lot of thoughts that are not really productive, that do not really draw us in or lift up the forgiveness of God. And nowadays, for example, and this is true, I know from teaching and I know from just from life and from having kids that have gone through the university system, for example, relativism is huge. And everything is relative. There are no absolutes. There's no law, there's no commandment, there's no absolutes, there's no right and wrong, there's no character of God that doesn't change between cultures, that doesn't change between, anything. He's permanent, He's solid, He's sure. You see, relativism kind of tears that down. And what is sad about that, what I really think is sad, is that what do we put in place of it? What happens in place of it is the exaltation of self. That's really all we got. You see, we will put that idea of self over and above anything and not even look at the definition that God puts of Himself or that He would put for us. You know, there's no real transgressions then. There's no real violations. There's no real faults. You know, there's no expectations, there's nothing we violated from God. Now, the reason why I mention all this is because it's important for us to grasp it in the context of forgiveness, because it diminishes the need for forgiveness. The need for forgiveness is what God says is number one for humankind. And, you know, real forgiveness is letting go of real offenses. Real forgiveness is letting go of real transgressions, real hurts, real violations, real things that you and I have done wrong. And for these 3,000 some people in verse 37 of our text, they were cut to the heart. and they saw that they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. It hit them. They realized that. And they knew, here's what they knew. It's interesting to think. They knew that they were utterly at odds against God. They knew that God was going one way and they were going the other way. They knew that they had violated God. They knew that they were not doing His will. They were so well aware that they had disobeyed, that God had a standard and that standard was not theirs. And that they did not have God's affirmation. Wow, that's a powerful thought. And furthermore, when we read the words of Peter, that they should not have the affirmation from one to another about what they did. Wow, that's amazing. What they desperately needed, what you and I desperately need, is that God, being the holy and just God that He is, and the perfect God that He is, could find a way to let it go. They were totally convicted of their sin, and Peter comes in and he says, but God, through the person of Jesus Christ, the one that you killed, is forgiving you. He's completely letting it go. He's not keeping any of this record. He just said, I love you. I care for you. And I do because of Jesus Christ. And so I take these words of Peter. I'm telling you, they minister to me. Because I look at myself and I think, if I have failed, bring it, Lord. Show me. If I am not measuring up, because sometimes I think too great of myself. Do you do that? You know, and you need, it's good to know where you are weak, where you are failing, where you are, why? So that you can wallow in it? So you can live in the shame, so you cannot move up to a higher level? No, it's so that you know that God is for you and not against you. So that you know that God can empower you and strengthen you. So that you know that He is for you. He is not the problem. He is the solution. And He wants to plant in you His Holy Spirit. Oh my, I'm not worthy of such. It is a beautiful thing to cry out to God, what must I do? That is the grace of God. That is the amazing grace that God gives us. It is forgiveness. It is the primary, most beautiful message that God wants to share with humankind. And it comes to us through Jesus Christ. You know, and it sets up also for me what Peter said secondly to them. He adds quickly, he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit. I need the Spirit. I need God's guidance. I need His help. When I look at the Holy Spirit in Scriptures, I see Him helping every facet of my life. I see Him coming in. I see Him giving me encouragement when I've failed. I see Him giving me, lifting me up when my self-esteem, when I'm low. I see Him in going before me and setting up divine appointments and setting up opportunities so that I can be His light. I mean, it's amazing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. He comes in, He gives me purpose, He gives me something to live for. It is a great and glorious thing. You know, and Peter's sharing this with him. Number one, we need to be forgiven. We need to know that all violations, all your transgressions, all the guilt, all the what ifs, all the if onlys, all the things that people accuse you of and that you accuse yourself in your mind, you need to see them nailed to the cross of Christ. They're not yours. Christ took them. And we need to rise in the strength that God has given us. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance and love, His joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. God is for all these things. We need extraordinary power because we have extraordinary weakness and common failure. You know, in closing, Peter shared with them, you know, these wonderful gifts that God's bringing through His words. And it's good to see when we talk about repentance, it's good to see that it's not just regret. And I want to leave this with you, because they already sensed regret. And regret was not good enough. He actually added to that when you look at it in context. It's good to feel sorry, but Peter talks with them and says, now go another direction. Don't go the direction you were going. Go the other direction now. Go with God. Go in His strength. Go in His power. Turn. Turn and go a different way. If you fail, God's forgiveness is abundant. It's more than you can possibly imagine. It covers everything and anything. And you cannot out-sin God's grace. But turn. You know the grace and the joy and the power that God has planted, that he has brought to us in Christ. You cannot work for this. You cannot earn it. You can't buy it. Somebody in Acts, at least one time in Acts, the guy tried to buy it with money, and the apostles just shook their heads and said, you really don't get this, do you? You just trust. And God's grace is amazing and abundant. I pray that he would inspire us as he's doing. And he's using us and he's opening up opportunities for us to serve. May he bless you and strengthen you in that. In Jesus' name, amen.